This is Wishing in Spring, a part of an archive broadcast, Nature of Things, from March 16, 1984.
Hi, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Nature of Things, a program about the world we live in, presented by FM 90 and the Rice Creek Field Station, a unit of the State University College at Oswego. I'm sitting here on a very warm day, kind of wishing in spring. Half the joy of spring must be in our anticipation of it, and the rest in the wonder that it has indeed arrived, just as promised. I happened to find this statement on a scrap of paper, which I had preserved in my folder on program ideas. I'm not sure whether I penned it in a moment of high anticipation and low inspiration, or whether it is just a random quote which I filed for future reference, author unknown. At any rate, it seems to strike my fancy at this moment, which is another of high anticipation and low inspiration. The source of my anticipation, at least, I can identify. I am indulging in an annual personal rite, wishing in spring. It usually starts with an unseasonably warm March day, like today, with just a bit too much rain to permit a walk in search of spring. A skein of geese snakes its way overhead with a minimal amount of vocal celebration. Too early yet to talk like a harbinger. They haven't really felt spring at their tails yet. My mind wanders over one source of springtime joy, the remembrance of years gone by. Remembrance can serve to heighten the anticipation and confirm the wonder. Then I turn to favorite books or to favorite works of art. I am especially partial, as some of my listeners may know, to the prose poetry of Aldo Leopold, as well as the polished philosophy of Donald Colross Peattie, the vivacious, soul-revealing chatter of Florence Jacques, and the dynamic working prose of John James Audubon's journals, the latter heightened by the contemplation of his paintings. Peattie evokes the first echoes by appealing to some vague but very real emotion. Best of all, the year begins with spring, the vernal equinox. It was a natural, a pastoral, homely sort of year, which a man could take to heart and remember. He could tell the date by feeling in his bones. It's a year when green things and the beasts and the birds in their migrations all obey. A year like man's life, from his birth cry to the snows on the philosopher's head. Leopold, in a few words, then, gives substance. One swallow does not make a summer, but one skein of geef, cleaving the murk of the March thaw, is the spring. I have watched spring in from many parts of the world, from Texas to Saudi Arabia, but nowhere else have I ever found a spring to match ours in New York State. In Arabia, it brought a little rain to a land that never has enough. In Texas, it brought a spate of dust storms to a land which always has too many. In North Carolina, it was lovely, but the change was not as striking as here. To go from the deep, snow-cloaked frigidity of York State winter through the oozing, muddy thaws of March and early April to the warm, sweet-scented greenness of May is an experience which starts more than the sap flowing and the buds bursting. There are those I know who can't quite see getting excited about changes in seasons. This, I think, is a product of urbanization and civilization, of civilized man divorced from, or at least separated from, natural man. In this phenomenon, it seems to me, rests a large part of man's growing incompatibility with his environment. Other creatures have no such problem. Their downfall, if they do fall, comes more often than not from their inability to accommodate to advancing civilization. This is just another symptom of man's alienation from the land. As I sit here, a cardinal is whispering spring to the thaw. Last weekend, the first pale sun of spring brought forth the courting calls of nuthatch and chickadee, and to rush the season in, a song sparrow sang a tinkling elegy to winter. Mating of some of our commonest mammals has occurred during the still frigid days of January and February. This, too, was essential since April and May, the birth months of the natural world, come all too soon. To me, this is just another evidence that an organic response to spring is natural and healthy. If you don't feel it, be concerned and consult the sentiments of others who Well, felt it strongly enough to transpose it to print. I've talked about Donald Kollross Peaty. His An Almanac for Moderns, it's a classic thing. It may be hard to get, but it's worth the effort if you can find it. Then Aldo Leopold's A Sand County Almanac is known by so many people interested in the out-of-doors today. That's published by Oxford Press. A personal favorite that I like to read in spring is North with the Spring by Edwin Way Teal. That's T-E-A-L-E Teal. And that's published by Dodd Mead. And then I might recommend to you another little gem written by John Hay. And this is Nature's Year. It's published by Audubon Ballantyne Press. I hope this has wakened some interest in you in searching out what others have said about spring and in just being confident that spring is on its way. And that's all for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Keep it natural.